This is April 29th, and tonight is questions and answers, and the topic for this month was, if it's to be, it's up to me.
Good evening. Good evening. Such is the nature of life. That all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. And I do hope that that is starting to sink into everyone's consciousness and every fiber of your being. With that said, we'll open it to questions and answers, and the title for the month, as Andy said, is, if it's to be, it is up to me. So I hope that you realize that you must take personal responsibility for everything that comes into your life, and that your life is a combination of all the choices you have made in life. And if you don't like where you are in life, you make different choices. It's all about choosing. But please remember that you are the one that's doing everything. And that does not mean that you have to say, oh, I made a mistake and I did all this. What it means is you must take responsibility or respond to what you have been doing and learn to change your response to things. Anything that happens to you in life, you can look at in any which way you want, but you always can choose how you're going to feel about it, what your attitude is going to be. And that's the freedom that you have. So with that said, I will open it to questions and answers.
I have a question. When you're trying to make a decision, a lot of times you can use your emotions to guide how you feel about something and how you make that decision. But when you're not the only person making a decision, how do you metaphysically help the outcome be what's right? You know, when by your opinion, judgment, it feels like it might be not the right decision, but the other person has valid ideas as well from where they come from.
The other person may always have valid ideas, but you must always sit down and ask yourself, what does Andy want? You must always boil down to what do you want, not what the other people want, not what's good. It's always going to come out for the best of all those concerned, and it comes out for the best of all those concerned when you're honest with yourself and you say, here's what I want. Otherwise, you fall into the trap of pleasing other people. So don't be a people pleaser. You may like people, but you do not have to please people. The only person you have to please is yourself. When you please yourself, you please other people. You see? And people who want an answer from you and they want you to please them, that's manipulative. And they're manipulating you. And we are taught to be manipulated. Well, they wanted to do it, so I agreed, or this happened, or that happened. What do you want? It always has to boil down to what do you want? Does that make sense to you? Does that help you in any which way?
Yeah, but in retrospect, I actually feel like their decision may have been right. I mean, you know, not to counter what you're saying, but like, they had valid arguments, and there's logic to what they say. And even though the problem was it touched an uncomfortable area within me, it wasn't within my comfort zone.
Yes.
They want to take more of a risk to get something better, and I want to do something that's a little safer and sure. But I think that maybe the risk might be the right reason, even though it's out of my comfort zone.
Yes. Well, we always have to step out of our comfort zone, and you have to remember, life is a risk. A That's all life ever is a risk. You must take a risk in life. People who don't take risks don't get very far. Always. Does that help you, I mean?
Okay, this has been happening for quite a while. It's like an up and down, but I am getting a lot of people around me that are in the consciousness of the outside consciousness, the, what is that called, the outside world?
Race mind.
Thank you. Race mind. When I'm looking around and everything, race mind is on the other end of the phone. And even though silently and my meditations are superb and all the things that I do are superb, send everything forth and do all that stuff and then answer the phone, and I've been co-calling. And a lot of times, it's getting better, but a lot of times it's race mind telling me this and that, and I don't understand why that's happening.
Well, first of all, we never listen to race mind. It's always going to be there. It's the loudest thing out there. So when you call, like, for an appointment or you call for something, you say, oh, no, we're not hiring, we're not doing this. Don't you know that it's that the economy is bad right now, no one is hiring and all that? But that's not a lie always. So you have to know that they're lying to you. But they don't know that they're lying to you, you see? So you have to change that in your own mind. You can't change them. You have to say, well, that's where they are. It's not where I am. In my world, this is what happens. I always find work. There's always work available. Work is always coming to me. You see?
But what I find is that since I'm getting it constantly, it's getting to the point where it's weighing me down, and I'm trying to find my God spark again, to lift me away from all that baloney, and it's been really a struggle.
Yes, and it will get you down if you allow it to get you down, because the world is very convincing, and those people are very convincing, and it absolutely sounds like they're correct. Then you must stop and pull yourself together and use it as a lesson in life, saying, oh, look, that's absolutely how race mind works. Thank God my mind doesn't work that way. Use it, always turn it as a learning experience for yourself. But you'll never get rid of people with race mind. They're called doomers and gloomers. Doomers and gloomers are always going to be around.
So since I'm doing it, it's a mental world, so am I believing that as well, or...
No, you can't take full responsibility for that, because race mind is everywhere, you see. What you take responsibility for is not believing it. You see, that's their universe. You don't want to live in their universe. Well, then you see, oh, well, thank God I don't live there. Here's what I'm... And then sit down and do your mental work and change your mind about those things. Because they're convincing. They're always going to convince you. They know how the world runs. They know how things are done. They know, and they can prove it. Just turn on the television, and it'll prove it every time to you. See, but that's all race mind. It's nothing to do with your life. Tony?
Hmm?
You don't have a question? Yes, you do.
Oh, remember I gave you that money last week? I found $9 on the floor.
See that? Came back to you.
Yeah. More? I gave you 50 cents, right?
Right.
And you got it. So
you must remember, whenever you give money, you must always say it's coming back to me multiplied abundantly. And it'll always come back to you.
The next day.
Pardon?
Very next.
Well, yes. And now you have to not discount that and say, oh, that was a coincidence and all this, that, and the other thing. Now you must say, if I can do that and I can find this, then I can get more. So that's the whole idea of manna from heaven. So what does that mean, manna from heaven?
Energy?
Well, it can be energy, but manna from heaven means that you're always being taken care of, that God is your source and your supply. And when you know that God is your source and your supply, you're going to run into all these little things. Now you just expand your consciousness so the next time it's bigger amounts of money. See? Sue, you don't have a question? You're just going to do nothing but write?
I'm writing what you're saying.
Oh, okay. And I hope you're editing it and making sure there's no misspellings.
Really, for me, misspelling.
And there's Scott with a question.
We're waiting for you, Scott.
With a question. What's your question? What time is it, and what has he missed?
I don't have any questions.
No questions.
Tonight. I have complaints.
Oh, about me? About us?
Oh, no.
Oh.
No, not about any of these holy people in
oh,
this room.
Okay.
I have a question. Why does Paula have so many complaints?
I don't know. Maybe she'll tell him.
No. It's about a practitioner.
Oh, it's about another person, so you have to change your mind about that person.
Right.
You have to hold that person in your mind the way you want that person to be, not the way you see that person.
As a practitioner.
As a practitioner. I could tell you stories about practitioners that used to just floor me. I was in a class, and this one, an older woman, well, at that time I thought she was older, she probably was my age, but she looked older. And she graduated with a practitioner's license from a church here in Los Angeles, and I know the church, in fact. And I'll tell you who it was. It was David Walker. I can tell you that because David Walker is no longer with us. But she was saying in a talk, oh, I know where it was now, I know. It was at Toastmasters. She gave a talk. And she said, you know, the big evaluator in the sky.
What?
The big evaluator in the sky. I almost fell off the chair.
No, she didn't say that.
She did say that. God is not an evaluator.
Yeah, not in the sky.
And she had a practitioner's license. I would have ripped it up if she hadn't. She had no. You cannot do that to people. You can, and say, I'm a practitioner, and then. If she has that in her mind that God's evaluating things, what do you think she's doing?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. She's evaluating. God does not evaluate. This teaching does not evaluate. Practitioners do not evaluate. I could not believe she got there. But I often hear them. They make big errors like that because their mind is not clear yet. So just please remember that God does not evaluate. The only thing that God does is love. And God loves, 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 and God loves you. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter. You cannot change God's mind. You are the beloved in whom he is well pleased. You will always remain the beloved. Always. You cannot take that away. And God does not take that away from you. Question?
I had a bunch of them last week. I should have written them down.
Well, if you had them last week, they're still in your mind, so they have to be there. So we ask your mind where they are.
It'll probably come in.
All right. It'll come in a few minutes.
Okay. So, I asked you a long time ago, because I kept getting these jobs that I absolutely hated, and I worked on that, and now I'm getting jobs that I like, kind of on my eye, but the money is
okay. So, you must realize that you are growing, and there is growth coming, because you used to take a job that you did not like because you didn't know that you were worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. So you must continue to work on those four aspects of yourself. And you must say, I am paid well for what I do. See, you still don't hold yourself in the highest of esteem for money to come to you, you know, for a better, more salary, more money to come to you. So just keep working on that and forgive yourself and keep telling yourself every day. And say, look how far I've come. Now I have a job that I like. Now my next thing will be a job I like that pays me the money I want. You see? It's a step process. As much as I hate steps, you have to keep stretching your consciousness. It's just stretching your consciousness all the time.
I have to say that I have the same problem. I didn't have it before, but I got it somehow. Believing in people saying...
Well, because it's a mind virus, and you picked up the mind virus. So now you have to inoculate yourself against those things, and you didn't do it, you know, you hadn't. So now tell yourself, I have a vaccine. I've taken, you know, I've been vaccinated. It doesn't happen to me anymore.
I'm hearing about all of these new movements. All of a sudden, all these new movements are, they're new to me. And I was wondering if you knew anything about the angel movement. I know it's been around for a while.
Uh-huh.
But there are people in at NoHo who are doing all of these different things. And there's a couple that they're doing hypnosis at $150 a pop. And they're saying that, well, they told this one girl that she had 33, for lack of a better word, they have another word for it, but I'll say issues that she would have to get rid of before she's clear. And they could probably get rid of three at a time. So that would mean she'd have to go back 10 times at $150.
Well, I'd say you're not very good if you can only do three at a time.
But she was trying to manifest a new job that paid well. Well, it took a while, and she did manifest a job, but she said it was the worst paying job she had ever been offered, and it was only for 6 weeks. So that was not what she was trying to manifest.
There are so many movements out there. You know, Ernest Holmes said you must keep an open mind, but not that open that your brains fall out. And there are so many people with so many gimmicks and little things out there. And if you want to delve into all that, all well and good. I would never allow that in a church that I ever went. I would not allow people to get involved with that type of thing. Are there angels? Perhaps. I would love to know that and use them and so forth, spirit guides, all that kind of stuff. But that is not what this teaching is about. You can use those, you can do all those things.
And the energy movement, the energy Reiki?
Oh, Reiki, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people say it's valid, but I didn't have that experience.
Well, with Reiki. Well, you have to be open to Reiki, and there is an energy going out, and you can, you know, from you and so forth. But there are very few people that know how to do Reiki. And that you can go in a weekend and get a certificate that you're a master Reiki. Pardon?
Jay got a certificate.
Well, you can get them in, you know, well, on the back of a match pack, I'm sure.
And he took a weekend thing.
Yeah, weekend. You take a weekend course, and you can get that. You know, years ago, you used to be able to take a weekend course and get a certificate in marriage and whatever that thing is called.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That only took a weekend to get those. But then it kept getting, the state got involved in it, and which always happened. And they fell. Oh, look, we can make money if we, you know. And they just keep making. Now you have to take more classes. You have to do this. It has to be regulated. Ah, now we have to have an association. Everyone has an association, and all associations, I think, are based in Washington, D.C. They all, you know, the Nurses Association, this association, now you have to join that, now you have to learn this, now you have to send in your 10,000, now you have to do this. Now it takes 4 years to get your thing instead of a weekend, and because it all turns into money. What you want to look for in anything that's out there, you must look at the person and you must see if that person has a sincere heart. It has to do with the sincerity in your heart. It has nothing to do with diplomas hanging on a wall. I have no diplomas. I have tons of diplomas, by the way. I have none of them hanging anywhere. And no one ever says to me, Dallas, do you have a diploma in this? Could I see your credentials? I don't have credentials of that type. I could belong to the American Association of Hypnotherapists. I absolutely will not join that group because, of course, to join it, you have to give them money. And then I went to one of their meetings, and they were the worst people in the world. I couldn't be around them. So you have to use your own judgment. Does that person have a sincere heart? Are they telling me the truth? Are they after my money and my pocketbook and so forth? And they're coming up with all this thing. I know the therapist said, well, you can go and they'll let you dance with angels and all that kind of stuff. Please. I have no time for that. That's all a bunch of bunk to me.
Well, the association, the Science of Mind Association, is really, I think, bleeding the...
I don't belong to that anymore either.
You have to pay $50 per class. After you pay for the class,
right.
You have to pay $50 to get a certificate,
right.
if you want to be a practitioner, if you want to, you know, go into the 300 classes. So every class you take,
right.
In addition to paying for the class, you pay $50.
They're trying to make it weed people out, but they never weed the people out that they have. If you have the money, you get the degree. You know, that's the thing about it. And I know tons of people, or knew tons of people in the movement. And when I first was in the movement 40 years ago, there wasn't all that. And then they kept building. Oh, now you have to come and take another course. Now you have to do this. Now you have to sit. It was just one thing after the other.
You have to have a bachelor's to,
yes.
To be a
right.
Minister.
You know, there was just one thing after the other they came up with. But here again, all those certificates and all that education or whatever they're doing means nothing unless you know what you're talking about, unless you have a sincere heart and you're using that. You see, I could fill this room if I told lies. I absolutely could fill this room if I told lies. I know people who do that. You know. I could do it. But I don't do that. I choose not to do that type of thing. I want to remain honest. I want to remain sincere, and I certainly want to remain truthful. And I work on that all the time, to be truthful, to tell you what I feel is the right thing about this whole teaching or about this concept, this thing that we call God. But that's my personal thing too. When I tell you what I feel, you may feel that, you may not, but at least I know that I'm not telling you a falsehood of any type. You see.
I have a question. I really like in the Bible, the Moses story. And I like the part where he manifests the snakes and, you know, all the plagues and what have you, and then he just parting through the Red Sea and the whole shebang. Where does that come from? I mean, how does he do something so spectacular, and there's motivation and probably learning for the Pharaoh? I don't understand the whole thing. I mean, it's spectacular to see, but I guess we could also do it. But how come he can do it so easily? Any type of manifestation that wild?
Well, because he had faith and he believed. But the whole story of Moses you must look at metaphysically, remember? Moses was going to be thrown out, was he not?
He's going to be what?
Thrown out, he's going to be killed. His mother had to put him in a reed basket and float him down the river, right? So then he was saved. What was he saved? By the Pharaoh's sister, you see. And then he grew up there learning all that, and then he came back to his roots again. When you read any of that stuff, you have to look at it metaphysically, and you have to say, this is my life story. How many times have you been thrown out? How many times have you been saved? How many times have you done something? You see, all the stories in the Bible are in the Bible because it has to do with your life and the cycle of life and what's going on. When you read the Bible, as soon as you pick up the Bible, you must say to yourself, this is the story of my life. Of my life, and then you'll be able to read it better.
You can't take it literally.
No. But the story, always, it's the story of your life, the Bible. Your life, not my life, your life. It's also the story of my life when I pick it up, but you have to start with that premise, you see. And then you go, you know, with the rest of it, whatever. But all the stories of Moses and so forth, he was able to do that because he absolutely found his faith, you see. So he had the faith to do that, you see. And water, by the way, metaphysically means the mind, by the way. So we don't know metaphysically when they say he parted the Red Sea. Mind-wise, he separated his mind and so forth, his consciousness in different ways, you see. But water is always mind. And when we come to Jesus, it was a lot. Remember, he was able to train water into wine. What does that mean? That means you can change your mind. You see? Did he really do that? I have no idea. But we're all alchemists. You must remember that each and every one of us is an alchemist. Why? Because we can change our mind. We can change something into something else by using our mind. That's what alchemy is all about. It's not just about making lead into gold. It's a spiritual alchemy.
My question before, I don't remember exactly what was up, but it was basically about choosing to do something, since that was the whole subject of the month, versus just changing your mind and having it happen, you know? Like just that relationship, intriguing for something and then going about and doing it, or just waiting for it to happen.
Well, I always tell you this, as soon as you make a treatment, then you must, or you want a demonstration, you must learn to live at the level of that demonstration. You cannot live, you know, if you're living below the demonstration, you're not going to get the demonstration. As soon as you say, I want this, this, and this, then you must act as though that were already so. Because it's already done in the mind of God. It just hasn't come up to this plane of action where you can see it yet.
Right, and that was actually more of the question. So you get your mind to look, you know, let's say you want to warm up.
Right.
You know, so you're like, well, I'm going to change my perception of myself and think of myself as having money. You know, I'm going to open my consciousness to living like that and expecting that and doing all that. But then at the same time, you talk about asking for a way to be creative for that to happen. So can you do just one or the other, or is it the whole thing?
Well, you can do the whole enchilada, but when you're talking to this thing called God or this thing called the universe, you ask for ideas.
Right.
You do not ask for money. You ask for ideas to make money. People who sit around and ask for money, they're very seldom going to get it. But you can get an idea how to make money and how to manifest that money, you see. That's what you want to learn to do. And enable to do that, you must get rid of the lack and limitation consciousness that you have, and you must see abundance and prosperity everywhere. Last week, that's why I brought in the zinnia. I had big zinnia pods. And from that one zinnia pod, how many do you think seeds were in that pod? Or more. And that's abundance. So you have to start seeing abundance everywhere. Once you see abundance everywhere, it starts to come to you. Because you're one with that abundance. You have to become one with abundance. And we don't do that. We become one with lack and limitation because we hear lack and limitation all the time. No, you don't wake up in the morning and somebody says you live in an abundant world. You wake up thinking, oh my God, lack of limitations everywhere. So you must learn to see abundance in everything, in the flowers, in the trees. The other one that I love is the ficus tree. Those big green trees that are out here. You could never count the leaves that are on those trees. There's no way you could count those trees, the leaves on those trees. I look at that and see abundance. Remember, I look at traffic and see abundance. I don't say, oh, look at all those cars blocking everything up. I say, oh, look at that. Isn't that fabulous? Look at all those cars.
Grocery store.
Yeah, and the grocery store. I love to go in the grocery store and see all that stuff piled up like that. I mean, they're mountains of food. Mountains, aren't they? And they're just wonderful to look at. I love looking at that.
Okay.
When I look in my refrigerator and the light goes on, I see the food in there. I go, isn't that wonderful? What abundance I have. I keep abundance going in my consciousness all the time. I don't look in my refrigerator and say, ugh, there's nothing in there. Do you ever go to somebody's house and they say they have nothing in their house to eat? What a horrible thing to say. Now, that's absolute lack and limitation. Certainly, there's something in your house to eat. And if there isn't, go out and buy a few things and stick them around so that you have, so that you know my house is abundant. Absolutely anything. You know, you don't say to yourself, I don't have anything to eat in my house, for God's sake. Go to the 99-cent store. For 99 cents, you can buy lovely things. Lovely things. You know?
And that's sparked my memory. Last month, you said I have a lack of limitation consciousness.
Yes. I haven't changed my mind, by the way.
Thank you. So can you give me an example of how I change it?
You must see abundance everywhere. Instead of saying, I don't have the money for this, I don't have that, you say, at the present moment, I choose not to spend my money in that manner. But you use the word, I don't have the money. You constantly use that. You must say, I'm choosing at the present moment not to use my money for that. Well, then see the abundance everywhere in your life. You have your house is stuffed with stuff. It's stuffed.
But I do go around and I do really, like, give gratitude, and I do say, you know, I'm thankful for all the things here.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
All right, well, keep doing it. Till it sinks in, until you absolutely believe.
Pardon me?
Till it sinks in, and you absolutely believe it. You had a wonderful aha experience. Would you like to share it with the class?
I had a wonderful experience.
You had a wonderful aha experience of what's going on in your consciousness, and it pertained to an automobile.
Change to an automobile. The license plate?
You mean about my friends promising that I could buy the car and then they...
Not that one.
What?
Why don't you have a car?
Oh. Because a part of me doesn't want an old car.
Now, isn't that an aha experience? Now,
you... But I've known that for a long time. I have two sides of me. I don't want an old car, but I can't afford a new one, so I have to, you know, someday get an old one.
Tell the rest of the story, if you will, please. Why?
You tell it, because I don't.
Why? Because you were used to new cars.
Oh, I'm used to having new cars.
Why
I'm
are you
afraid?
Why are you used to having new cars?
Because I don't have them.
Why did you have those new cars?
Because I had generous people buy them for me.
There. Now
what does that have to do with?
Does anyone, am I the only one that's seeing this? Are you seeing it? Well, that's an aha experience. Now you realize what's holding you back from your car, and there's nothing wrong with that. You were used to people buying you brand new cars. You were used to brand new cars. So now, you either get the brand new car, or you give that up and get the car, get another car that you want that you can afford, you see. But you can hold on to that
idea. Well, you know, I mean, I know I can never get a new car again.
Ah, but that you can't do.
Don't say that.
You can't do that one.
But I still keep, you know, around my house a picture of an Odyssey.
All right, then keep that going. But you have to say, you don't know where it could come from.
I know that. But my main problem is my split of everything.
Yes. But where, if you had a guess of where it was going to come from, where would you say it was going to come from?
I need to tell you. God, oh God. But how? I know.
You're the Fun and Entertainment Committee.
Right.
God's the ways and means. So you don't know how. You don't have to have a
concept.
You don't have to have a concept.
I'm not thinking about where it's coming from.
All right. So keep that in mind, and it will happen to you at the moment of belief. But you haven't reached that moment of belief yet.
Okay. But you know I'm split.
Well, stop saying that you're split.
What do you even say? Said that I have both consciousness, and they are in conflict with each other.
Yes, I say that. I can observe that in you, but stop doing it, you know.
Because logically.
What do you know about a split consciousness? It's a very, very, Abraham Lincoln used it all the time. A house divided against itself cannot stand.
So how do I get rid of that?
Just sit down and get rid of it and say, get out of here. Go back.
You know I do affirmations all day long.
Well, yes, but you're used to having this split personality, two people. I see you're taking up two chairs.
That's not nice.
You're to the point you've recognized that. Now, once you've recognized that, now do something about it. Give up that idea that you have a split consciousness. And say, my consciousness is absolutely steeped in abundance and prosperity.
I go to sleep every night, almost every night, listening to Louise Hay Prosperity Tape.
Good.
My mother instilled in us that we were responsible for our own behavior.
Yes.
And whatever happened to us, it was our responsibility, and we caused it.
Yes.
So whatever you want, you're responsible for that. You have to go out there and get it.
Yes.
So
that's how I feel.
When you say miracles happen at the moment of belief.
All miracles are instantaneous at the moment of belief.
All miracles are instantaneous at the moment of belief.
But it takes you sometimes a while to get to the belief.
What are the qualities of belief? Like, what does that embody? We know it embodies being worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, and that you're living at that level of manifestation,
and that you're totally being taken care of. You have no doubt whatsoever that you're being taken care of. And that's the one that takes a while, because you don't know that you're being taken care of.
But you can't sit on your laurels and expect.
You cannot sit on your laurels and do it. You must always move your feet. You must make a step forward. You must do something. If it's to be, it is up to me. You must do something about it. If you make a step towards God, God will make a step towards you. If you make no step towards God, God will not move. When you know that one from a way back, the whole idea that God helps those who help themselves. You've heard that all your life. God helps those who help themselves.
But I have a question carrying on this excellent topic right now. With what she has to say, what he has to say, and also what I go through, is I'll do the affirmation and I'll do the belief, and then all of a sudden my ego mind will say something because of all of the bombardment of the outside world when I'm making phone calls.
Yes.
So sometimes I can say the affirmation that I need that puts me on the track of the manifestation. And sometimes I'm arguing with myself, the ego mind and the spiritual mind, or whatever. And I always make sure that the spiritual mind
wins.
But sometimes it's like minutes later and I'm doing that argument again.
Yes.
So what can one do? I was thinking when she was talking, is it possible when you have the struggle between the two minds that you can write it down?
Yes,
you
can
write. Talk to yourself and say, no, you just want to. Can you start writing it down? Or
yes.
Maybe writing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can write it down. I would suggest you write it on Charmin, toilet paper. And then when you're finished writing it all down, you flush it. I used to do that. Get up in the middle of the night, write on Charmin's, and then flush all that stuff down. Your mind is always going to argue with you. It'll get less and less, but it's always going to argue with you. It's always going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you something to do. Before you pick up the phone, you must say, I only talk to people that have something wonderful to tell me, that provide me with the right information. I no longer talk to people in race mind. I do not draw that to me. You have to stop that, otherwise you're going to just keep picking up the phone. You're picking up the phone. You see? You must stop it in your thinking. The argument that's going in on inside of you, know that it's an argument. Why do you continue? Why do you continue? Why don't you just say, get out of here? I'm not having this conversation. But you let it go, and you let it go, and you let it go. And then race mind comes in and tries to prove it to you and all. You know for goodness sakes that you're having this conversation. And now you also know that it's a choice. Which one are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to your spiritual self or are you going to listen to your ego? Remember Mary Baker Eddy, what she said? You must argue with your mind like a lawyer before a judge, and you must always make sure that you win. Mm-hmm. You must always make sure that you win. You may never let your mind win. You are not your mind. And there's another one with the belief and all. You always fall back on that idea that you're your mind. Your mind is very convincing, the same way the outside world is convincing. Your mind is convincing. You must not allow it to convince you. You must every day say to yourself, I am not my mind. My mind is mine to use. I am not my mind. My mind is mine to use. Otherwise, it will use you.
When you're growing,
yes.
Does it get louder?
Yes.
That's
and not only does it get louder, and I think I explained that to you the other day on the telephone, it's exponential. It's exponential. You'll go faster and faster, and you'll learn more and more, and it'll come quicker and easier to you because it starts to spread. You must know. Well, we're going to talk about that next month. You must say, inside of me is a divine seed. And that divine seed is now sprouting. It is now growing. And then visualize that. Visualize it if you want in the very center here at your solar plex. And then start to see it growing and growing and growing and growing all through your solar plexus, down your legs, into your toes, up your arms, into your fingers, up your head. Till you're nothing but the divine. You must let it grow. It starts to grow, and you people stop it out. You pull it up and throw it away. Don't do that. Does that help you?
Mm-hmm.
You must see this stuff. I mean, I'm going to tell you one more time. This is a very simple teaching. Very simple teaching.
Sure it is.
You must learn to control your thinking. You must learn to control your thinking. You see, instead of learning to control your thinking, people want to rush out and dance with an angel. They want to know that they have 33 issues that they have to get rid of. How many times have I told you if you have an issue, there's only ever one problem that you have? But what is the one problem that you always have? A God problem. There's only ever one solution. What is the solution? God. Simple, simple, simple. The world wants to make it complicated. These other people want to make it complicated. They want to tell you, oh, wear these sandals. That'll help you. You see? Simple. Control your thinking. Don't allow your mind to convince you of anything. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.